Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go.
Lifestyle, wellness, and damn good time.
You're listening to the Holistic Life Podcast, presented by Say What Radio.
Oh, you're doing the music now? Aw, shit. You are in the Holistic Life Zone. Well,
and I'm done.
You're listening to the podcast, the Holistic Life Podcast. I'm Jenny.
I'm Jay.
And we are on the road.
Wait, who is the podcast for? We never say who the podcast is for.
Well, tell who the podcast is for.
This podcast is for a type of entrepreneurs, event planners, and people of that such. We talk about wellness, mindset stuff, and just basically living your best life. We take a different approach to stuff, you know, not your typical way people approach it. But yeah, if that's you, you found your place.
You are in the right place, so make sure you subscribe. And we are in the unfuckwithable season. Unfuckwithable.
Oh, God.
And I was saying, we are literally on the road. Like, we decided to record on the road. We're driving through the hills of Georgia. We just went to a canyon that has absolutely nothing to do with today's episode, but it may have relevance because our audio may sound different, especially if you just listened to another one of our episodes or you listened to something back to back. It's possible this one sounds a little bit different. So what are we talking about today?
We're talking about smoking guns and pull triggers.
Pull triggers and smoking guns. Okay. So what does that mean? Because that, to me, like, when you very first said that as a potential title, I kind of went, oh, I don't know. Are we talking about guns? I don't get it.
Oh, which is funny because we talk about triggers and things that trigger that didn't trigger you for the whole gun thing.
No. There. No, it didn't trigger me for the gun. I wasn't a smoking gun with the trigger when you said the trigger
word. I mean, if you think about it, it's the whole point. What kind of triggers do you pull? The point of a trigger is it's pulled. So when something is pulled, when something is triggered, the button is pushed, something is pulled, something happens, right? And usually, okay, so you have your pull trigger, and the smoking gun reference is basically the thing you go to when the trigger is pulled. For some people, it might be sex, might be alcohol, it might be sweets, it might be whatever your vice is. And that's the whole point. Like, pull triggers and smoking guns. So the smoking gun is just a reference to the outcome result of the pull trigger. It doesn't have to be a, like, negative or a positive thing. It's just, you know,
a metaphor.
Yeah, exactly. It's a metaphor.
And I'm just sitting here thinking, because I'm like, okay, you talk about, like, triggers when your buttons are pushed. Like, define a trigger. Let's talk about, like, what a trigger is.
Like, when we talk about the Next Levolution program.
Yeah.
What kind of triggers are there in that program? Do we discuss?
Talk about different things that it's kind of, I feel like, maybe we haven't talked about it this way, but I feel like it's a little bit of, like, cause and effect, where it is, like, okay, you did this action. What did you do before this action? So, for example, like emotional eating or stress eating, to stop and pause and see, okay, was there a specific thing, a trigger, that caused you to want to take that action?
And without the self-awareness aspect, though, usually the trigger is being bored, not having fun, being stressed out, overwhelmed, something emotional having, which triggers you to binge eat on sugary stuff or whatever.
Salty
which is
snacks
which
or whatever.
Is which is the smoking gun.
Right. Well, and even so, it's like you said, without the self-awareness piece, it's like, are you living your life in autopilot or the self-awareness? It does take that pause, that reflection, that moment to be able to like stop and pause and notice these things when they're happening. And we have one of our clients who has made tremendous change in her life. I'm gonna shout her out. She's lost 55 pounds, but beyond
56.
That, oh, 56 pounds.
56 pounds.
56 pounds. And did you see the post that she just made? She said that she had to take a professional headshot picture and she doesn't have any. And she took a picture, her son took a picture, and they looked at it, and he was like, this is the one, Mom. And she was like, wow, my son never says that. And she looked, and she's like, wow, I look happy. And she said normally she would, like, pick apart herself in the picture, and then she looked at herself and was like, wow, I love me, the me that's in this picture.
Was this post on Facebook?
Yeah, it was on Facebook.
I totally didn't see it.
So, but I say that because she was just telling us in our coaching call this week that how she's had friends kind of asking her, like, what are you doing? Some of her friends, when they ask, and she says, you know, I'm just kind of like, I'm doing me. I'm, you know, they're like, are you doing keto? You know, they're like, they have to know that she's doing something keto or some
kind
of
diet. They don't have to know. They insist
that's what she's doing.
They want the reassurance.
Okay.
That it was something they can wrap their head around.
Yes, that's
such as keto. I know that's what you're trying to say. I was just helping you out. As keto, because, you know, that makes sense.
Right, because when she says, oh, you know, I've just been kind of like taking it day by day, and I've been taking care of myself,
getting my
eating
shit
the
together,
food. I've been
looking at the triggers and smoking guns.
Yeah. And we basically, I brought that up because she's finding, and what we know too, is that a lot of people just aren't ready.
Yeah.
They think they're ready, and what they want is they want the quick fix, and they may say they don't want the quick fix, but like the reality of it is, just tell me that this eating plan, or if I go sweat my ass off and hate life, that that's going to deliver results. And a lot of times it does, but eventually, just like we talked about, some people, like, you lose weight, you want some whatever, keto or whatever, you lose weight, and then for a lot of people it ends up not being sustainable.
I don't even think these people think they're ready. I think they want to be ready.
Yeah.
But I don't think they think they're ready.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Wanting something and being ready and that's, we talk about that, but it's a whole different mindset, whole different shift. And sometimes it's easier to say, oh, if I stop eating this and I eat that, this is going to work. And logically, yes, because you're switching up how you're eating. You're eliminating some things because some diets say you can't eat this. So, of course, you're going to see changes.
Right.
You're going to see changes, but, like, that's not sustainable. And once you get tired of it, you know, you're going to gain the weight back, if not more. But, you know, and honestly saying, you know, the hardest part, I mean, if you notice in our marketing, what we really want to say is we can help you change. But if you're honest with yourself, yes, I'm talking to you listeners. If you're honest with yourself, you don't want to hear that, because subconsciously something deep down in you says, oh, change is hard. Change is difficult. I'm going to have to give up this, that, and the third. I'm not going to be able to have fun anymore. So I don't want to change because change is uncomfortable.
Right. Or you don't want to face the things you've been suppressing all these years. You want to bring up the hurt or the anger or the pain. Essentially, a lot of the triggers, and really some of the triggers, we hide with triggers.
Exactly. I was just thinking about what do people usually do, like in like we've done. I'm totally not gonna throw you on the bus because we've done this. I was gonna say you, but we've done this, like, before we go on a diet or a binge in the past. We've been like, oh shit, we're starting Monday. We better go get all the sweets and stuff
that we
can have,
get
because
we're
not going to be able to do this for the next 30 days or like whatever.
Right.
And honestly, if you think about that, that's not a ready mentality.
No. No. I mean, you think you are, but the thing is I think it's okay. I think that we can celebrate ourselves for trying and experimenting and trying different things and finding out what doesn't work. You know, I feel like that even is a double-edged sword, because if you are wanting to change your life, and specifically with weight loss, you know, if you're wanting to change your life and you've already tried a lot of different things, then you can celebrate that you've tried different things and you've had that perseverance. But also at the same time, a lot of people beat themselves up because they've tried so many things and it didn't work.
Right.
It's like a double-edged sword. And our client said, you know, really, the thing is you haven't tried Jenny and Jay. You right. haven't tried this. And when you come to us, you got to know that you're going to get some leveling up. But the thing is like...
Or you don't... Okay. Okay. I wouldn't even say that, though. You don't. Right. You don't have to know. Like, when you come to us, I feel like... You've tried a lot of things. You okay. know what I'm saying? And you're sick and tired of trying the things, and you are ready for something different. To, like the client said, I've said in the past, this is it, this is my year, or whatever. And if I'm honest with myself, I know I was bullshit. Mm-hmm. But like this time, I was ready. So I think the leveling up is a byproduct of yeah. just kind of being fed up with all the things. Being like, okay, I've tried this, I'm fucking tired of it.
Yeah.
I've tried this, I'm fucking tired of it. Okay, I've seen this person, they're enjoying alcohol. You know what I'm saying? They're mm-hmm. not overindulging. They're enjoying eating out. Mm-hmm. And they look fucking awesome and amazing. They're happy. You know what I'm saying? It's I feel, because that there's an energy shift. I feel, and I think that's what people say too, oh, you look different, you're glowing, whatever. So basically, they feel that vibration, that energetic vibration of something being different.
Yeah. I was just sitting here thinking about triggers, right? So I definitely, if you've been listening, you probably won't be surprised by some of these statements, but I've definitely lived my life in a very perfectionist type of way, A-type, wanting people to, you know, see that I have my shit together. And I have been in and out of fitness and wellness for, gosh, 10 or 15 years now. Because I first joined Beachbody. I was, like, super fit because I played sports. And I came out of college and I, you know, was working out a bunch and Sanity and all that. I got my personal trainer cert. I was P90X certified in teaching classes. I got nutrition certification. I've been in and out of different like health and wellness, network marketing companies, different, like I've played around in this world, but what happens for me in the past, I'm gonna claim it in the past, what has happened for me in the past is I end up getting a little bit like self-sabotaging behavior because I feel like I'll get real focused, right? And I'll be doing the workout, I'll be doing the thing, I'll be doing the diet. And this is before when I had learned some of these things that we teach now, but I'd be doing the thing and living and feeling good. But eventually I'd want to eat some snacks, some sweets. I've always wanted to eat those and for lots of different reasons, but I like that always comes back up. And then I gain some weight, or I maybe like don't feel like being as hardcore anymore. I want to go back and I gain some weight, and then I feel weird about it. Like I'm supposed to be this health and wellness person, and then I'm sitting here, you know, eating all these snacks. I'm not supposed to do that. And I think that years of doing that, and years of like shame, and years of feeling bad, and years of eating the things and then saying I shouldn't eat the things, or beating myself up, or getting mad at myself, or all the different things, all of that, years of that has definitely caused some trauma and some triggers. And with my perfectionist tendencies that I've had, you know, when these things come up, I try to hide them or bury them, or just kind of like hide from the public because I don't want them to see what I'm going through because I'm supposed to be this like wellness leader. And then, you know, getting with you, it's been an unraveling and an understanding. And it's really with the principles that we teach, and especially what you've taught me, Jay, is to really just slow down and pause and identify, like, what is causing, what is behind this trigger? What is the thing? Like, what's the thing that happens before the thing?
Right.
What takes place? Like, when I'm wanting to eat the snack or the brownie or the cookie or whatever, like, why? and pausing and thinking why. And we've definitely have gone back and forth. Like, he's like, why do you want that? I'm like, oh my God, I got to justify this to you. And I get really mad or whatever. You get really possessive sometimes about these things, you know, or like, I mean, I buy a box of whatever ding dongs or nutty bars. Don't eat mine. Like, don't touch my half. These are mine. Okay. So that just kind of builds it up. And as I've been doing this work, my goal at the end of the journey, at the end of the road and beyond, is to be able to eat snacks when I want and just have a bit and not go crazy with them.
Right.
Not go on a 3-day binge because I didn't have them and now I want them and all this stuff that I've tried. Like, I just want to have a piece of cake when I want to have a piece of cake. And right. I want to be able to eat half the piece of cake and say I'm full and push the other half away.
But even with that though, noticing different things. Publix has awesome cake if wherever you're at. I don't know if you have Publix where you are, but I feel Publix has awesome cake. But what I've noticed with getting in a slice of the cake, and I don't know if it's the cake or like all the crap in the icing, like I get sleepy after I eat that. And it's like being aware of things like that, like noticing. And I think you said it when we had the last night we were in the Villages and you wanted dessert at the Thai place and you had that and you was like, oh, this is different than going somewhere like having the shake from Johnny Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it's paying attention because I think it's a couple different things. It's and I'm still figuring this out if this is just a Jenny thing or if this is more universal. And so this is coming like raw, unprocessed thoughts, all right? So the Johnny Rockets shake or the Publix or the Brookie from Trader Joe's or the brownie with the icing or some of those things that I really like that I feel like I cannot stop with, I would venture to say that a lot of those types of sweets have an exorbitant amount of chocolate in them and sugar. They have chocolate too, but they have a lot of sugar in them. A lot of processed sugar, probably like that fat, that butter fat, and some of those like addictive things. And the Thai ice cream, it was just like, you know, a scoop of ice cream. It has sugar, but I don't think it has as much. Right. Even an example, when we went and had that banana pudding. Mm-hmm. We had a banana pudding at a barbecue place. You ate it. You were like, this is good. I don't need any more.
Right.
But I said, oh, you know, what about your aunt's banana pudding? His aunt's banana pudding has so much sugar in it and so much like added like fats in it that I think is what becomes that extra addictive, to where you literally wake up thinking about eating banana pudding for breakfast, lunch, dinner. You continue to eat it so much that you'll eat it until you're full to like 250%. Right? You just keep going. You in general, not you. I mean, we have done that. We have had it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But like, I would not think the same about the one from the barbecue place.
It was dessert. It's cool.
I feel like it has to do with like the sugar content and processed sugar. Well, too, and being aware of that too.
Also though too, that self-awareness to where like, okay, this was good enough. But sometimes we feel like, oh, no, this isn't what I'm looking for. I'm not satisfied. Now I have to go get something else.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? This was cool. This was all right. I mean, maybe it wouldn't make my top three, but it was okay.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I feel like we went a little bit off on a tangent, but it was exploring some of those different triggers, but also being aware of like, what are the types of foods that cause you to feel a certain way, or the types of foods that really ultimately are red light foods. Right. A lot of those foods we're talking about are red light foods. And if you've never heard us talk about red light foods, we have a concept that we teach called red, yellow, green light. And it has to do with the foods, like the red light foods are the ones that you literally danger like if they're around.
If you get a family size of this bag, you know what I'm saying? It's not for the family, it's for you, and it's probably not going to last the rest of the day.
Right. Versus like, in comparison to like a yellow light food, you may still like it, you may still indulge in it, but you're able to like walk away.
Right.
For example. So a red light food means like don't have it around. So I think it's, I haven't found my full answer, but I did have some major wins this week with ice cream. And I love ice cream. I've loved ice cream my whole life.
And this particular ice cream was from your hometown area.
Hometown Grater's ice cream. It's so good. I got a pint. We went to the store when we got to Alabama, got a pint. I came home and usually I would devour that within seconds of getting home and then probably want another, right? I'd be like, oh my God, I want another. I want to go get one the next night. And oh my God, Grater's is so good, whatever. Didn't eat it. Didn't touch it that night. I was like, you know what? I'm actually full. I don't want that tonight. And I was like, woohoo, win number one. Next day I ended up wanting it, but not because of bored or emotional stress, anything like that. I ended up wanting it. I had it for a little snack, and I only ate half of it. I mean, I cannot remember the last time I only had a half a pint of ice cream at one sitting. I cannot remember, literally. I don't know if I've ever done that. And I put it back in the freezer. So those were huge wins in the process, and it's so empowering to know that I can do that and I'm able to do that, and I'm coming from a place of empowerment.
Right.
And even that trigger, recognizing the trigger and having a different solution. What do you call it? Do you have a name or do you have a metaphor for like when the trigger's there? Or is it just the fact that you didn't pull the trigger because then there was no smoking gun, right?
Here's the thing. It might not be a perfect example, but it's the one that popped up in my head. So the when I think of like pull triggers, smoking guns, it's like saying something like, when you're super mad, right? You're super mad, you're upset or something or whatever this is, and you have this gun that you go get, you know, and you utilize the gun because you're angry or whatever. You're upset, you pull the trigger, now you have the smoking gun that connects you to the thing, right? Mm-hmm. So what you explained is like, so when something comes up, you know that the gun is around, but you have enough self-awareness to not let that push you to pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure there's a better metaphor, but you know, hey.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's definitely a fun experience when you go through, when you realize that those old behaviors that used to define you are no longer a part of your life.
And a cool thing about like red, yellow, and the red, yellow, and green light concept is you're learning. So something that might be a red light doesn't mean it's always going to be a red light food. It might turn into a yellow light food. We have a friend who has she can literally get like Toll House chocolate chip morsels, and they literally sit on her counter like four months because that's not her thing.
Yeah.
And we're like, what, girl? She let that be our house. She
right now. Definitely a good conversation. Is there anything else you want to add to the conversation? I mean, it's definitely, we talked a little bit. We didn't go super deep into a lot of different triggers because the triggers are going to be different
for each person. And I don't necessarily believe we have to go into that because I feel the conversation is relative.
Right.
You can insert trigger in everything we talked about is still relative to that particular thing.
Right. And I mean, I shared some of my stories. So why don't you wrap it up, Jay?
Currently traveling around the country, so if you want to check in on that, follow us on Instagram at @2_J. Holla on IG. That's really the only one you need to worry about. Jen's kind of monitoring the Facebook stuff, so I mean, you could follow us over there, but the majority of our interactions is on IG. Stories, reels, no lives yet. Regular post about where we are, what we're going through, some of the lessons we talked about. We have a good 45-second talk about emotional eating, which is awesome. So hop over there, like us, send us a DM, let us know that you found us from the show. Yeah, we want to get to know you guys. Yeah, we're really big on connecting. We're not those people who say, yeah, we want to connect and we don't. Like, we're super, super big on connecting. And I don't know, just holler at us. Oh shit, got something big coming too. So yeah, there's that. Other than that, it's been a great show. Jen, it's great talking to you today.
Holla.
Holla.
You can subscribe to the Holistic Life Podcast from your favorite streaming platform. And don't forget to check out 2jholla.com to stay in the know as an official 2JH insider. Mahalo for tuning in. And until next time, that's our show.